when that snow sits on the ground for a long time and it's relatively thin, we end up with reasonably strong variations in temperature through those layers. And those temperature variations lead to changes in the structure of the snow. And so the snow that fell from the sky changes quite a bit once it's on the ground, and it changes to these large-grained, what we call faceted crystals, kind of sugary snow. When you brush your hand through it, it just falls away like sugar. So it ends up being a really weak base for subsequent snowfall. And then in the last week or two, you've had some very significant snowstorms. And what that has done is it's overloaded that weak base. So then you can have these stronger layers on top that collapse into that weaker snow. And that's what's causing the dramatic increase in avalanche activity in Colorado recently.
So does this happen fairly often whenever you get early season snow? Is this something that's happening more often now?
This is something that's very common, especially in Colorado. Colorado is what we call a continental avalanche snow climate. So what that means is that you often get these early season snows that then become a weak base for subsequent snowfall throughout the year. This particular year, you got an early season snow that was maybe a little earlier than usual. And this last storm was maybe a little larger than some of the other storms. So that's what's made things so sensitive to triggering right now. But the conditions that you have right now are not terribly uncommon for what you see in Colorado in a typical year.
Could you just talk about some of the avalanche mitigation techniques, including the use of artillery, I guess, or actually setting off avalanches?
One of the tools that ski patrollers and folks doing avalanche mitigation for highways use is explosives. And they use the explosives to try to trigger avalanches when there's no one there. So in the case of the ski area, you would do your avalanche mitigation work in the morning before people come to the ski area, and you'd use your explosives to trigger avalanches, because once the avalanche is triggered, the unstable snow is off of the steep slopes, and then you can open that terrain up for the public. For highways, you close the highway down, and then you do your explosive work, trigger avalanches, and if they come down over the highway, then you have to plow the road, and then you can reopen it. There's several different ways that you can deliver explosives to avalanche starting zones. You know, inside ski areas, typically they use hand charges. So these would be 1 kilogram or a little over 2 pound cast primers, and you throw those onto suspect slopes when there's no one around and trigger avalanches. There's other tools to reach more remote starting zones. One of those is what's called an avalauncher, which is you use some compressed nitrogen that then shoots a projectile with explosive in it out onto a slope. And then another tool that's used commonly by the CDOT there in Colorado, and it's also used at Telluride ski area, is military artillery. And those are 105-millimeter howitzers, and those are great because you can access starting zones that are very far away, and you can do so very safely from, you know, from a safe location. You can access those places and apply explosives and do your avalanche mitigation work.
I'm reminded of wildfire mitigation when we do controlled burns.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just wondering, does it ever get out of control or kind of go too far when you set off an avalanche, or do you try and prepare for that as much as possible?
Well, the way that things can get out of control when you're setting off avalanches is if you have the unfortunate problem of, say, if there was a building that was in an avalanche path, but you still need to do avalanche mitigation work on that path, and you were just hoping that the avalanches weren't so big that they would hit that building. For the most part, when we're releasing avalanches, you're doing so in a real controlled manner. So, for example, on a highway, you're shutting down all the access to the largest avalanches that could release at that time. And it's very rare, in fact, almost unheard of, that the avalanches suddenly run way wider, because you can predict where the widest avalanche that's possible is going to run. So it's usually not quite like that way with wildfires, where I know what you mean, like you get them started and they just go and go and go and go. And so as long as you know where that area is and you make sure that area is cleared out, then you're in good shape, you know. And I mean, it's the same as the folks that are doing avalanche control work inside ski areas. There's a lot of communication between the different avalanche mitigation teams just to make sure that none of the employees are under any of the avalanche terrain that's being mitigated. And then, of course, no public either because you're up there early in the morning and the ski area is closed.
So what are some general tips to avoid avalanches or take a wide berth or whatever?
When we're talking about avalanche terrain, it's really any slope steeper than about 30 degrees.
Okay.
And that's about the steepness of a gentle black run or a very steep blue run. Probably more like a gentle black run would be around 30 degrees. So if you're inside a ski area, the great thing is that you've got groups of professionals, a ski patrol that's out there, and they're mitigating the avalanche danger using explosives and also deciding whether or not to open or close terrain. And they're very effective with that. The numbers of people that are actually caught while inside ski areas is exceedingly low.
Director of the National Avalanche Center, Carl Berkland, thanks again for your time and your knowledge today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Lucas.